I got you.
Gracias.
Yeah. Yay, Dopo Chico. And let's tag them in there so they can get sponsored.
Yeah, right?
Yes,
cheers.
Cheers.
All right, Bet. Well, let's go ahead and get started.
Let's do it.
And you know what? I can finally give I can give Nick credit because we ended up stealing spin heads.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, son. Yes, son. I'm happy about that.
And we have been very critical about anyone that uses vinyl as plural.
Oh my God, I've been on it.
New.
Like I'm a vinyl.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nazi now.
I am very thankful that you've taken the things to good use.
Come on, man.
A middle-aged hipster like myself. Just kidding, not middle-aged, okay? Don't let the hairline fool you.
Age
bastards.
Is nothing but a number. You said that earlier.
That's right.
Oh, man. Speaking of that, Adrian has an Aaliyah shirt on.
I do,
right?
I do.
Yes.
I do. Because I was sure that phrase would come up.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, it's one.
Wait, which one?
Shout out to Aaliyah and Aaliyah only, not R. Kelly. Fuck him.
A word.
Yeah, I can.
No, that's real though.
Honey Love will not be played today.
Not at all. Not at all.
Ooh, got me sweating.
Mm-mm. Okay. Oh, man. Okay. Let's get this thing started. Yo, Spinheads, welcome to episode 5 of the Next Spin podcast. I am Botter Milligan, and I am joined by my usual but amazing crew here with me in Adrian's spot today, man.
Yeah.
Our boy Adrian was kind enough to host us this month, which leads me to introducing him. Mr. Don Stefan is here with me, Adrian Rawls.
Yes, Don Stefan, the Don.
The Don himself. Yes. We are in the Don's home today.
Thank you.
Also, on mic number 3, sharing a mic, actually, are the loveliest, most sultriest voices of this here podcast, Mr. Freddy.
Yo.
Mm, so smooth. And Yaya as well.
Hey, everyone.
Oh.
And last but not least, we've been, I think, what, 2 episodes now? 2 episodes straight. We've had a guest co-host these last 2 episodes. We've got our first returning guest co-host on mic number 4. Mr. Nick Fresh is in the building.
Hey,
Mr. Nick.
Hello, Spinheads. Thanks for having me back.
Hey. Yes, the man who coined the phrase Spinheads is here with us as well.
Run me my money.
Who has also, you might have heard him on episode, I think it was number 3, Gay Icons. We had our Gay Icons night. He delivered a fantastic podcast performance, and I'm proud to announce he has gone on to start his own much needed and long awaited music podcast. He'll tell you more about that at the end of this here episode. But I want to go ahead and get started because, Adrian, not only are you hosting us today, but you've also selected this month's theme. And I got to say, I think out of all the themes we've done so far, this one definitely stands out on its own. So how about you go ahead and formally introduce today's theme?
For sure. I appreciate that. So basically, I got a lot of questions about the African diaspora, right? Like that was the theme of this here podcast, and people wonder, like, well, what the hell is that, right? And that's honestly, I really kind of put the topic out kind of tongue in cheek, to be honest with you, because I wanted to see what people thought of when they you explored when you had the topic of African diaspora, because it's a huge, I mean, admittedly, it's a huge thing. And so for me, just to clarify what this means to me, what I was referring to is basically the historical event from the 16th century to the 19th century, where a mass of the African people were taken out of Africa, brought into the Americas and the Caribbean, and, you know, the cultures just dispersed and intermixed with the, you know, Amerindian and the European people. So that's what I referred to. That's what I was meaning.
I didn't know that this was like an actual theme because they actually even have it in the Smithsonian Museum. They have a section about music of Africa diaspora. So I was a little confused, but I mean, it is pretty big when you actually start reading about it, how flutes are a huge influence, drums, obviously. Mm-hmm. Depending on the drum pattern, you knew where they were from, what tribe they were from in Africa.
Exactly.
And even speaking from Puerto Rico, our traditional music is bomba y plena. Mm. And it comes directly from our African heritage. And our stories is, the songs are based on our stories, like coming from Africa, the stories of how like they were able to just keep hope. Just as the same thing, like how they have it in English, right. But it's just in Spanish.
Yeah.
And the bomba, depending on how the drums and congas are played, mm-hmm. you'll see the women will respond. And the women, when you see them with the skirts, mm-hmm. is how the guys will respond to the conga. So if they like hit the skirts really fast,
right.
that's when you'll go like see them go like on the drums.
And so
it's pretty interesting to read how much African music really comes to play to influence all kind of music. Like, you know, Arabic music has their own influence, but African music definitely plays a huge part.
And that was the one thing that, like, I, you know, when in my investigation of like African diaspora music, honestly, like, you know, taking away the kind of like the intellectual shine that's on it, the music of the African diaspora basically just blues, jazz, hip hop, R&B, like just music that we normally listen to anyways. But I just wanted to open it up. I wanted to kind of throw in a wild card so that to let you go anywhere you wanted. Mm. With this vinyl selection, you know?
So music of Black origin.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that was a comment I made last episode, because last month, Adrian, you actually brought up that you were going to select the Black diaspora, or the African diaspora, I'm sorry. But you had mentioned primarily your motivation was thinking about, you know, where you were from, mm-hmm. and it sounded like you were kind of doing some more digging into that as well. Can you go into a little more detail how your place of origin has influenced your choices, Mike?
For sure, man. So if you don't know, I'm Afro-Latino.
Yeah.
And so
I'm from,
man, I am. And so
you would have happened to be Panamanian.
I'm Panamanian, dude.
Son,
it's crazy. But no.
But you know what? It's funny because I don't want to. A lot of people think that only Dominicans are the Black Latinos.
Yes.
And it's not like.
Right.
There's. Panama has a huge African background in Puerto Rico, like everywhere.
Colombia,
it's not just
Honduras.
Dominican Republic.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And that was the one thing. So just to answer your question real quick, Badr. So yeah, basically where I was coming from with it was that I wanted to kind of obviously explore my own heritage a little bit more. But also I know that all of us, even Tony and Sabina, like we all, you know, I think every aspect of the music that we listen to now has a component that is international. You know what I mean? And I think that a lot of people forget that when they're listening to hip hop or listening to jazz or whatever. And I think that I wanted that to come out in this conversation. And so that was my point in bringing this up. And also, like, it spurs for me solidarity with my fellow people. You know, in the Caribbean, in Central America, in South America, throughout the world, Africa, and also. Just another thing, I love like African genre music, like Alte, Amapiano. Like, there's so many different really dope Afro beats types of music that's out there, and I know I was trying to find vinyl for that, but it was very, very difficult for me in the time frame that we had.
Well, I definitely commend you for not only, I think, you know, zooming out, diving into the world of you know, collecting vinyl and etc., but also challenging all of us with a very unique theme. I think when you look at our previous themes, because this would be, I think, meetup number 6 or 7. I kind of starting to lose track at this point, which is a good thing. I don't think we've ever touched on it from this like macro level. Mm-hmm. And what a lot of our listeners probably can't, you know, of course, see is that everyone's got like their phones with notes and things like that. So I commend you for bringing this angle to it. And I wanted to go to our special guest this episode, Mr. Nick Fresh, because, in all honesty, you were kind of a last minute addition. And I'm very curious about not only the records you brought, but more so how you were able to tackle this this theme with, you know, maybe a day heads up.
The day's heads up. Well, you know, when I think of the African diaspora, I also think about just Black music in general, and I'm thankful that the limits were kind of
expanded
a bit.
Yep.
Because a lot of the records that, you know, we kind of want with you know, Amapiano and everything, I ran into that same issue. And I definitely couldn't get it in a day and a half.
No.
Trying to find things of that nature. Fela Kuti, mm-hmm. everybody and their mamas wants that record.
Absolutely.
Or those records and everything. So you can't even find those. Even represses are hard to find.
Really?
So I decided to just kind of focus on artists that have made a difference within the African American Black community and communities, because again, it's widespread. It's also browning this very country that we were forced to get into.
Yeah.
All said. All said. Freddie, what did you know about the African diaspora, or what did you end up learning? Did you learn something new?
So my initial opinion on the African diaspora, I included African culture from Africa. Mm-hmm. And after doing more research and asking A, he's like, no, like the diaspora is more of a music that derived from them being dropped off in the Caribbean and parts of the West Indies, mm-hmm. even parts of Europe. Mm-hmm. And, but like Nick was saying, it's difficult to find a lot of those older records.
Everybody wants them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
People that don't even need to have them.
Yeah. Some people just want them. They don't know what they got.
I don't even know.
Yeah. Just sitting there collecting dust, you know?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, we'll listen to 38 Special instead.
Yeah. Right.
But you know what's funny? Going back on on the African traditional music, I didn't realize how much flutes are very influential in the African diaspora. And now it makes sense. Salsa, if you hear, especially old school salsa, the reason why I play flute in middle school was because a lot of the old school salsa in that break is a flute. Hmm. It's a... Mm-hmm. And you would see the guy on stage going hard on his flute. Yeah. And so when I started reading more about it, I was like, wow, I never expected it. I thought that was more of a European thing. Mm-hmm. And it's actually from African tribes. There was African tribes that, you know, they made their own flutes. Mm-hmm. And that was there. You know, some tribes was more driven on drums. Mm-hmm. And there were some that the flutes were. So it was interesting to read that history on it.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's another thing that was really interesting to me when I was starting to do my little research on it, on the African diaspora. And basically what it was is that a lot of the themes of the music, not just like the sonic, you know, the sounds, but like the themes of the music was also what kind of like had people feel a connection with it, right? Mm-hmm. So if you know, there's connections, or there's themes of oppression, there's themes of you know, struggle.
And I mean, reggae music is one that talks about it. I feel like it's... And salsa is too. Yeah. I know a lot of people don't know that, but salsa plays... A lot of the songs have to do with, like, when Spaniards brought the slaves and how they were treated. It's like the modern-day folk music, actually. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting to see how the diaspora, African diaspora, has developed now. But it definitely still talks about the history of how they were brought and left from Africa.
I'm glad that you brought up reggae, because Adrian, I was going to say that this felt like a seamless transition from our reggae night and all the research and thing and then the topics and themes that we were bringing up then, you know, with reggae's close ties to Rastafarianism, which close ties to Zion and you know, pro-Africa and things like that. I think the most, I guess, eye-opening or interesting thing I came across during my research for this was the concept of the African Union, which prior to this, I might have heard the phrase, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And I mean, are you guys familiar with it? It's this idea that it's this union of like over 55 African member states. It's essentially like the whole entire continent of Africa. Mm-hmm. Is if you divided it up into segments like north, south, west, central. East, central, mm-hmm. you have five regions of the African Union. But they consider the African diaspora the sixth region, which would mean individuals of African descent all over the world, no matter where you're at. You know, if you were part of, if you could trace your roots to that a mass dispersion from, you know, the thanks to the transatlantic slave trade, then they would consider you as part of the African diaspora, mm-hmm. which would be its own union within its own region, within the African Union.
Yeah.
Which I think that sense of community is really beautiful, you know? It's like, you know, you're digging much deeper than, like, I think surface level heritage or genetics. Right. Like, it's really, like, diving a little deeper and... like this massive umbrella that accompanies so many different people.
100%. And I think that, like, you know, I have a friend who personally, like my guy Khalid, he was out in California and apparently he was doing, you know, there was some ambassador from like Nigeria or something like that, that reached out to him and said, hey, listen, you're a part of the African diaspora. Mm. We are encouraging African Americans and Afro-Caribbean people to invest and look at Africa as a place for investment, because they're looking for that exterior interior investment.
And it's so funny. I just read yesterday an article about a lot of celebrities that are, especially African American celebrities that are actually investing in Africa. So I wonder if that has some play.
Yeah.
To do with it.
Yeah.
If you go on the, I mean, look, yo, no shame about it. I'm a Wikipedia fiend. I love going to Wikipedia, going down rabbit holes. And I always try to go to the reference section to see like the articles they do. But if you go to Wikipedia right now, and hopefully everyone is checking out, you know, or at least looking into what the African diaspora might mean. But there is a section in there that talks about Rihanna. And I was like, damn, Rihanna hasn't. Yo, she's so big. She's even in the African diaspora Wikipedia. Yeah. But I bring it up because they talk, because I was like, all right, well, where's the musical? Does this article touch on the musical aspect of it? Mm-hmm. And they do in the sense that there is a conundrum, and that's, you know, for lack of a better term, there's a conundrum when it comes to artists like, say, Rihanna, who is, you know, of Barbados descent, but she is now a global superstar thanks to being in a U.S. music market. Mm-hmm. So she's got, you know, several different things pulling at her. You know, you've got the U.S. music machine / monster, but also staying faithful to her roots and her community. Exactly. I didn't know that she was like an ambassador for the
Barbadian tourism. Or
thank you so much, yeah. Which I think is must be one hell of an honor. But talk about even more pressure to be a representative of your home country for a market that probably doesn't know where the fuck Barbados is. Right, okay. Yeah. You know, I think that's a very interesting concept to have as a major act.
For sure, man. And I think that, you know, and you even, like, you know, I sent you guys Vic Mensa. He's, you know, Rock Nation. He did this, you know, we'll snap it up for Vic Mensa. Yeah. Interesting guy. A lot of interesting background with Vic Mensa, but, you know, we'll leave it at that. But no, he did have a really good TED Talk where he was talking about kind of solidarity. And that was the one thing that I thought was really cool about this topic, which was like, you know, again, going back to what we were saying, Rihanna's from Barbados, but, you know, we in America feel like that's ours, you know, like we, you know, same with Drake, you know, he's from Canada, but we feel like, yo, Drake is a dude. He's ours. Yeah. So I just feel like that the music makes it so easy for you to connect to people. And now you have, you know, you have this kind of, if you dig a little bit deeper into what it means to be in the African diaspora, like you can say, hey man, I'm a part of the sixth region of the African Union. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know. I just feel
my LinkedIn is about to be crazy.
Right? You know what I mean? So no, I don't know. I that's why I thought the topic would be cool.
Well, I think Panama, you being from Panama, I think has a big play also because reggaeton was born in Panama, El General
talk about it.
Is an African diaspora from Panama, who was probably brought there, like his family probably was brought there to help build the Panama Canal. And what's beautiful about Panama, I lived in Panama, I'm a Navy brat, like I mentioned before. Panama, it's a very, very diverse country because of the Panama Canal. Mm-hmm. So you have your like 100% Chinese, you had your Jamaicans, you had your Africans that moved there. And, you know, just it's a mixed culture. And that's what's beautiful when you go to Panama, you really do listen to the influence, like the music. If you listen to the music in Panama, you listen to how Jamaica was influenced and how Chinese influenced it and how obviously African music. And like, again, the first reggae song ever was from Panama, El General. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't from him, reggaeton wouldn't be what reggaeton is. He was the first one to, you know, because again, because of the mix in Panama that was going on, you would go to different barrios and you had somebody from Jamaica and an Italian and a Chinese person, all neighbors there, all speaking Spanish, by the way, 100% with the Panamanian accent. Okay. Cause you would freak, that would always, when I was a child, that freaked me out for a little bit to see 100% Chinese person, you know, cause as a child, you're very, you know, but
it's so true,
but it's beautiful to see the mix over there. And so it's cool to see like the influence of how Panama, you know, so I understand why that would, you know,
it's a topic that I was interested in. And just one other thing to throw into it. So you mentioned Italians and Europeans. Like, I know we're talking about the African diaspora, so obviously we're focused on African people and their influence on the music in the area. But we, you know, especially in the Caribbean, Central America, South, you know, the Americas, you know, there is something to be said about the Indian or the Amerindian influence, even the European influence, to be, if we're being honest. So it's like a trifecta. It's a melting pot. of different influences that create the sound of like rumbas and the bachangas and all
the
these
cumbas
and the cumbias. Yeah, like, yeah.
It's different.
Right.
There's Mexican cumba and there's right. Colombian cumba.
Exactly.
It's not the same thing.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's what's great about it. Really, really, when you really start going deep in this theme, mm-hmm. you're really going to learn how it obviously influenced other genres. Mm-hmm. You
yeah.
know?
And I'll tell y'all, man, to kind of transition into the vinyl selection. I found a record from a guy named Herbie Mann, I think his name. And it's jazz. Hmm. And this guy's, he has like, yeah, we'll snap it up for Herbie Mann. You know what I mean? Yeah, but if you look on the back of the record, it's super cool because he actually has like a tree. It's a part of the artwork. He has a tree that has Africa, Europe, and like, I guess, Spanish or Spain or whatever as like the main influences of the music that he puts out. So we'll discuss that in a minute.
Well, you know, I wanted to insert not a personal anecdote, but an anecdote via a friend that very close friend that actually shared this with me. So and I don't mean to like, you know, put words in his mouth, but I'm going to try to regurgitate his story because I think it's definitely applicable here. He was stationed guitar for years, mm-hmm. and a lot of the individuals that worked on this base that he was at mm-hmm. all came from all parts of the world, but yeah. there was a large population of like Africans from mm-hmm. like, you know, the Congos and several other African states that I can't recall at the moment. Mm-hmm. But he would tell me that, you know, he would go hang out with them
yeah.
and, you know, they would get deep into some conversations and they would always kind of treat him as a brother and would openly tell him, yeah. hey, man, we're from the same place.
Right.
And, you know, he shared that, you know, it took him a minute to be comfortable with that idea because he's like, yo, I'm from Mississippi. You have not experienced what I've experienced. Right. But I think the more that he started hanging out with them and, you know, they had those talks that mm-hmm. he felt that connection at, right. at a very deep level. Mm-hmm. So thinking about like the African diaspora, the even like the African Union and their sense of like belonging and community, mm-hmm. like it's a very powerful thing.
It is, man. It's super powerful. And I think we need more of that, just to, I guess to kind of take it out of the music for a second and just talk about politics and like the state of things, right? I think that it's very important for us to recognize that we have more in common mm-hmm. than we have you know, not in common. And I think that that's something that's sorely missed. And that's why music is so beautiful to me, you know, personally, like mm-hmm. on a deeper level than just actually liking the sounds. But I think it's just so cool that what it can do, like it just brings people from all different parts of the world and makes you, especially if you think about it in these cool terms of, you know, like gay icons, reggae, you know, we think about these things in themes, mm-hmm. but you know, it helps us to kind of have something, you know, that we share, you know what I mean? Like these sounds that we're listening to, it's deeper than just my skin tone. You know what I mean? It's about my experience. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of us, we all are experiencing things, you know? Some people are sharing a certain type of experience because of their heritage, but I think it pulls us all together, man. So so for me, I think that that's one of the things that I really wanted to kind of draw out of that. And I appreciate your explaining that about your homie in Qatar, because I think that's interesting. Doing my research on the African diaspora, I learned about Afro-Russians. I had no idea that there was even a thing as an Afro-Russian, but it's a community. It's like 200,000 people that they're considered that are black huh. people brought from Africa into Russia, and they got a community there. I mean, there's communities of black people all throughout the world.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And you know what? That was the other fascinating aspect, because yeah. when I think of that, I think of like the Americas. So African-American, Afro, Afro-Caribbean, yeah. and then Afro-Latino.
Yeah.
But then it's like, well, what about the entire East, you know, mm-hmm. side of the world? Mm-hmm. And that Russian one is pretty interesting. Okay.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. There's a whole page. There's like a YouTube page. Maybe, I don't know if we'll share it, but there's a, but no, they literally go into every single part of the African diaspora. They go deep, man. And so what I didn't know prior to doing this research is I knew, obviously, as a black American person and Panamanian person, that you know, we were brought here to the Americas, but there was also 800 years prior, the Arabs had a conquest of Africa mm. and they spread out, you know, the Africans, not, you know, towards the Americas, but also into India and Europe. And
that makes sense.
So, yeah.
Perfect sense.
Yeah. Before we go into our vinyl picks, I wanted to toss this question to Freddie and Nick, only because I want to hear from you brothers.
He's like, y'all awfully quiet. I'm just learning. I'm like,
I agree. I'm just
agreeing.
Well, I'm curious.
Love being educated.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious, speaking about education, Have you guys ever, whether it be through music, family, or any other means, have you guys ever dug into your heritage or your roots past your family tree that you know of?
Nick? Yes, actually I have.
Would you mind sharing what you've learned? And you don't have to if you don't want to.
Oh, no, that's fine. You know, I think it's better out there.
What the hell?
Right. It's very deep.
You're like, I came here to play vinyl.
I can't believe I came here to play you didn't see anything like this my second time on the show. No, you know, honestly, I am Haitian and Sicilian. So, oh, wow. Yeah. So that's pretty much the extent of my studies with that.
Passe, brother.
Naboulé.
Yay.
But that's it. My father, you know, bless his heart, he's been away. He went to another neighborhood 5 years ago. He considered my brother and myself the first wave Haitian American. So he was like, well, you know, he knew five languages, but he didn't feel that we needed to know five languages because we've arrived. We were in America.
Yeah.
So when the Haitian American Alliance happened at Orange Park, they just looked at me as a water boy because I didn't know Creole. But that's okay. But I think the main thing is with that is, you know, of course, what we're being told in America, that we're just black or African American or other things that may be or may not be savory.
Right.
Because of all these conquests, because of all these things that have happened to the African race or African people over the years, over the decades, the centuries, and everything, it is amazing to find out where and how deep your genealogy goes.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I mean, honestly, and again, Haitian and Sicilian, you know, my grandfather was a judge in Haiti. My grandmother was a teacher on my father's side. And we learned through that how all of that was kind of put together.
Right.
He was on business, you know, and they ended up migrating to New York, to Queens specifically in 1968.
Wow.
And soon, like, you know, less than 10 years later, met mom who has roots in Alabama and I believe Jamaican roots. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that family because I know y'all listen. But yeah, just all over the place.
Yeah,
it's all over the place. We are more than just their skin hue, and I love that.
Absolutely.
That's 100%. The amazing thing.
Absolutely.
As opposed to the, you know, they always say that the darkness or the absence of light is a terrible thing, but I think it's, and no disrespect intended, but I do think it's amazing to be in that absence of light.
And you know, Nick, I think that that's something also that I wanted to highlight with this topic. Like, I think a lot of, like, again, I think a lot of people focus on their immediate history, especially Black American people, because we don't, you know, it's tough for people to go back further than their grandparents, you know what I mean? Or great grandparents.
And mainly because we weren't given the resources.
Absolutely.
You know, back, I'm sorry if that was your point.
That was, yeah.
Yeah, we were never given the resources. All of our stuff was either burnt down, we'd get beat down for even trying to be educated.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that. You got to remember, they even
legit
took away y'all's names, like our names. Right. They took away our, here in America, right?
Mm-hmm.
They took away our names, they took away our traditions, they took away so many things compared to like the Afro-Caribbeans. Afro-Caribbeans, they were allowed to practice their religion. They were allowed to keep their traditions and stuff like that. So compared like to the Africans that were brought here to America that were, you know, stripped so you guys, you know, so we wouldn't know our history here.
Right.
So that's like the difference. And what's interesting, like when you read more about that too, it's the reason why Louisiana is so into voodoo and all that is because the Africans that were in Louisiana, they were allowed to keep their tradition and practice their religion too.
Yeah.
So that's why it's like mind blowing to see like the history of like just how like the African, you know, how our history and like what you said, like it's sad that a lot of Black Americans were stripped of that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And they have to go hard to find that information.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I've always somewhat envied about the Hispanic culture is that y'all really have an in touch, y'all in touch with y'all.
Absolutely.
Some of the roots that y'all had.
Absolutely.
And that's why I pointed to Nick first, which realizing now I should have went first.
I learned now. Speak before Nick because
he's going I'm sorry.
But like my father has done the
genealogy,
whatever that is.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go back too far.
Yeah.
Oh,
and My mother, on the other hand, they're German. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't know none of them. They're still out there. But one thing, like you mentioned earlier, one thing I love about music, it brings us all together.
Absolutely. And
that's,
right.
And that's why I love it so much.
I think, you know, just speaking about music, it's, you can go to any time frame, not only having music, this is broad, and this is kind of not on topic, but it kind of is.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course, there's always a song for everything. Mm-hmm. And then there's also pretty much the spiritual effect of it. Which I think is how we're all connected. And I will never stop saying, get your hand out of there. It's my vinyl picks. Don't do that. What's wrong with you?
Tony.
Yeah, Tony. What the hell?
Tony. Jeez. Okay. Tony. I love you, though. You're great.
Yeah, you're
okay. Our CEO, by the way.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Please don't fire us.
Please have me back. Please. I'm sorry. Please have me back. Okay. The head spin head in charge.
No, he can blackmail us with all the pictures. So, yeah, let's be
it is true. That's true. No, music is a direct connection to our spirit. I say this all the time. And I think that's also one of the ways that we're all connected as well, because we have to feed it daily with something. Of course, it's cool to have thought shit and, you know, wings and pizza, my favorite. WAP, by the way, just in case.
Hey, I like that.
Wings and pizza. Yes. That's not an original thing. I wish it was.
I like
that's
that,
awesome.
Though.
But, yeah.
That's the best version of that acronym.
Yeah, oh, man. I thought it was on Kids Bop, and I was like, yo, kudos to them.
That
seriously.
Is awesome.
But no, it's not. But no, I mean, we have to feed it daily. And also, why not learn? I mean, through music and through specific genres and styles, we get to find out a lot of things about our history that we didn't even know.
Right.
So yes. That's the thing. I encourage everybody that's listening out there, period, to at least
listen to the lyrics of songs, people.
Right, yes. Right.
It's not just the melody all the time. The
jump
beat.
Out of your landscape, your comfort zone, and get into the landscape of music. There's a whole bunch out there that you can learn from, and that's one of the reasons why I continue to stand for Next Spin, because if I am able to have back after that barrage on Tony, please have me back. I promise.
It's like,
please, baby,
cut his mic.
Yeah.
What? Say what? Yeah. Give me that mic over. No, honestly, it's what was I saying?
That's cool.
Music.
People need to do more research.
Expand.
On
yeah,
history.
You said expand.
Yes. The music.
Well, yeah, expand. I mean, no, really. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Expand as much as possible. I mean, you never know what you might be influenced by. I mean, they talked about Bruno Mars being influenced by black artists, and people were mad about that. And it's like, honestly, don't be mad about that. When it's put out in the open air, that's when everybody's influenced by it. It's no longer ours.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
No matter how black themed or African diaspora it was based, mm-hmm. and everything, it's no longer ours.
Right.
That's why we can't find things that are Ama Piano or mm-hmm. reggaeton mm-hmm. or anything like that on vinyl, because everybody's been influenced by it. And also, they're driving the prices up. Y'all need to stop it right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Nick, very well said, and a great transition to our last portion of this episode, and that's going to be our vinyl picks. Adrian, since you are kind enough to host us today, I'll let you go and kick us off. What are the vinyls you brought? And feel free to share any like ones that are special or anecdotes. And we'll go clockwise.
Oh, sure, for sure. So all right. Well, they just handed me the Latin Man, Herbie Man, Afro to Bossa to Blues. I really like this. I did my hunting over at the spot over at the flea market. I'm forgetting the name right now.
Doo-wops.
There you go.
Thank you, Doo-wops.
Yes, for Doo-wops sure. Is awesome. Awesome. And the guy is interesting, but the place is really cool. And basically, it's kind of like a compilation of a lot of different Latin jazz kind of influenced music. Watermelon Man is the selection that I'm going to play off of this one. Maybe this one or the other one. I don't know. But anyways, this is the album. It was Latin Man, Afro to Bossa to Blues, and it's basically that's hitting on three different types of genres of music right there. So and then on the back, the art is awesome. That's one of the cool things that I really found about these albums, is that the back of them just have so much on them. Mm-hmm. It's like I was like, I found myself spending like an hour reading through so many different types of albums, and the information they have in their suit is so interesting. So anyways, this one was really cool because it has a tree on it, and for the listeners, and you'll see probably pictures and stuff like that, but it has a tree on it, and it kind of shows the different genres of music coming from Spain, Africa, and Portugal, and how they influence it. So it's really cool. So anyways, that's my first choice. The next one is the Modern Jazz Quartet.
They were like some Supreme Court judges on
love it. Yeah. I love that cover. I'm surprised you found that. I love that.
Yeah, this is from like 1956.
Yeah, brother. Oh my God. This
is
deep.
And so this is right before they went off. And apparently, like, this is like a transition. Obviously, you guys got to remember it's 1956, right? So black people were seen in some parts of the world as, you know, subhuman or not as, you know, not equal. And so this was the first time where they were able to go out and actually book their own shows for them alone and do world tours. And so they did a whole European tour, and this album is that. So this album is Dizzy Gillespie, like all these crazy, like, I mean, just legends of freaking jazz playing awesome choices. And the record I'm going to play off of this one is Night in Tunisia, off of this one, Modern Jazz Quartet. So dope music there. And then my last selection is just Mongo Santamaria's Greatest Hits. This is not Mongo Santa Maria. This is some beautiful lady, but Mongo Santa Maria is a legend. He passed, earlier about 20 years ago. But yeah, he had a bunch of really recognizable hits that you guys would all know. And I said I was gonna play Watermelon Man off of the Latin Man album, but I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna play it off of Mongo Santa Maria's Greatest Hits. Because it's just, there's just so much good here. So those are my selections. So hopefully you guys will, nice will dig, get some out of it. Thanks.
That's a very good dig.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I would like to mention, because I went to see Summer of Soul, Questlove's documentary. Okay, listen.
Oh, I'm so mad.
Listen.
You went?
I
saw it twice on Tuesday. And so you learn, I mean, even with those two viewings and basically back to back, I learned a whole lot. And I suggest for everyone listening and everybody at this table that hasn't seen it yet or even has seen it, to watch again, because there are some things that you probably missed.
Oh, 100%.
Including in that, just going back before I give you my choices, Mongo Santa Maria was a part of that summer series.
He was.
And so was Herbie Mann. And Watermelon Man, which is a song that you're going to feature from Mongo Santa Maria, was also one of the songs that was selected for said film.
Yeah.
And that happened, and that was a glorious 6 weeks.
It is so good.
Yeah, it's a sea full of black folks.
Could you imagine?
I can't wait to watch.
In Harlem, too.
In Harlem. And no fights happened either. Okay, none. Okay, look at that.
Yeah, man.
Okay, question. Did y'all know that Tribe Called Quest and 36 Chambers and Midnight Marauders came out on the same day?
Yep.
I did not know
that. Best Days of Hip Hop.
Yeah. One of the best days of hip hop.
Oh my gosh.
1993.
Yeah. Wow.
I think the only other one I'd probably put there is like 96 or 97 when Outkast, Jay, and some other folks. Yeah. I forgot the other people.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, the 90s is just the golden
age. For sure. Seriously. Yeah. So what I brought with me today was, I think, a manifestation of all of the greatest hip hop dreams. A Tribe Called Quest, Midnight Marauders.
Absolutely.
Very much so a fan of 36 Chambers, not negating Wu-Tang Clan. Ain't nothing we got some children in the audience today. So I'm just self-censor myself in this piece.
Thank you. Thank you for the foresight, Nick.
Because I do want to be invited back into this wonderful home.
Strike one with Tony.
Strike one with Tony.
One with Adrian. Okay. Man. What the hell, Nick?
Okay. Put up a poll, Spinheads. Can Nick Fresh come back to next?
I'd rig it for you. Don't worry. Yeah,
thank you very much. Thank you. I'll change my name for you. Anyway, Midnight Marauders, what can we say about this album that has not already been said? I hope it wasn't featured on Hip Hop Night, 90s Hip Hop Night, or Next Bad.
I think it was. But it's all good. It's all good.
Oh, man.
It's such a legendary album.
I do have another one. I do have Camp Lowe's Uptown Saturday Night as well.
What?
Which is.
I think we might.
You think you brought that too?
Damn.
It's all right. This is
whole sure? There is no way that you brought it tonight.
No, come on.
No, I'm talking about
on Hip Hop Night. Yeah. No, it's fine. It's
no, see, that way, are you sure?
There's so many tracks, though. There are so many tracks.
That was episode one. We are now episode five. Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Okay,
all right. Whatever you want, me.
You're the special guest.
Hey, guys, I just, you know, I want to be in the family so bad.
You are in, brother. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, all right. Well, Midnight Marauders, one of the best albums of all time.
Absolutely.
Hip hop albums of all time, and possibly in all of music, because the way that everything was set up and everything, again, a fever dream of greatness. You have not only the all of who's who of hip hop, from the Far Side, Chi Ali, Third Bass, Too Short, the Beastie Boys, rest in peace, MCA, Ice-T, Ice Cube. Yeah.
Look, that album cover is one of the best album covers.
Most iconic.
Most iconic. 100%.
It took me so long, so many years before I found, oh, there's a reverse side with just as many floating heads. Yeah, that's pretty tight.
So yeah, and the CD, of course, CD release, you'd see pretty much all the faces and everything. So good luck with that, guys. Trying to figure it out. Again, we're not going to talk too much more about Midnight Marauders. It has been featured before. But I also think that it explains, particularly in Suck a Nigga, that you're getting the explanation of pretty much the view of pretty much coming from the African diaspora to what's happening, well, modern day and even now.
Yeah.
Modern day 1993 and now. About you know, pretty much how we perceive ourselves and how we, you know, how we should, what we should call ourselves in the face of white fragility and all of that other stuff, and how we should conduct ourselves in public. So Suck a Nigga is one of the choices that I'm choosing, as well as Lyrics to Go. Shout out to Minnie Riperton, who is my favorite vocalist, one of my favorite vocalists of all time, and that's where the sample comes from, Inside My Love and all of that.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. Inside My Love, which was written by Leon Ware, written and produced by Leon Ware and her husband, Dick Rudolph. Okay.
This guy's a freaking encyclopedia.
I hope I got that right.
I didn't know that.
And oh, yeah, by the way, Maya Rudolph is Minnie Riperton and Dick Rudolph's son, or daughter, rather.
Yep.
Just in case if y'all don't know that already, living under the rock. My second choice, as we're talking about the African diaspora, this is actually very close, much closer, because you're dealing with traditional gospel, African gospel or gospel music in general. And you're dealing with one of the best to ever do it. She's still alive. We must protect her at all costs. Miss Mavis Staples.
Yes.
Her first release, solo release in 1969 on the Volt label. By the way, I had a chance to go to the Memphis. I filmed a video with the great LeChat, and the one I ever had, a good dear friend of mine. We did a record for him called Incognito. We did a video. LeChat, who has a song or is featured on a record with Project Pat called Chickenhead, and also
nice.
Cover Your Ears, Children. there's a song called Slob on My Knob by 3-6 Mafia, and she did the reply record called Slob on My Cat.
Yes.
LeChat is legendary, and we must protect her at all
costs. Awesome.
Very
awesome.
I'm going to put that as my ringtone.
Damn,
man. Oh, it's good. Oh, it's so good. It really is.
That is
okay.
Awesome.
To flip that 180 on its ear and everything, where, you know, basically it's a bunch of dudes doing dog things to women and women doing dog things to men all day.
The great balance. The great balance of life.
Clues bombs for LeChat. Okay. Mavis Staples, though. went to the Stax Museum, and of course she and her family, the Staple Singers, Pop Staples and Cleotha, I forgot the other sister's name, but of course they brought you hits in message music or gospel music like Respect Yourself, I'll Take You There, and all of that. This was Mavis Staples' first stab, or at least sonically, in the world of secular music. So you have sounds like songs like, let's see, Son of a Preacher Man, which was originally done by Dusty Springfield, and also Chained, which was originally done by Marvin Gaye, and also A House Is Not a Home, which is my pick, which was originally done by Dionne Warwick, but taken into another level, another dimension, because you have that growl, that grit, that cornbread from Mavis, that you get on this record, and you're gonna hear it, and it's so good.
Nice.
I love her. Nice. You must protect Mavis at all
Absolutely.
Costs. I love her.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh man. Finally.
Wow.
Finally. This is a wild card choice.
Holy smokes.
And y'all are looking at me all crazy. Like, what is this about? Okay. Ooh. This record is from the leader of the Nation of Islam at this point, Louis Farrakhan. It came out in 1984, and it's called Let Us Unite. Now, before y'all are like, what is wrong with y'all? What is wrong with you? What are you saying, Nick? You know, well, it is very weird of this choice. Respect to all my Nation of Islam brothers. You guys live your life, do what you do. But we have an interesting story with Louis Farrakhan, as he was originally a calypso and country singer and was trying to come for the head of Harry Belafonte.
Mm.
Yes. But as he was trying, he was growing, strengthening in the Muslim faith or the Nation of Islam faith. He had to give it up in Temple Number 7 in New York City. So he gave it up because you can't have any worldly or secular possessions or beliefs. So he ended up basically leaving that behind more or less, do his thing there.
Yeah.
So what he did, I think in 1984, I think they were broadening the horizon of it and trying to bring in everybody and everything. I think more so now than ever, they're doing that. But in 1984, they were opening the door for the Nation of Islam to, fellowship and outreach to others that may want to hear it. Start expanding. He came out, went back to his calypso roots, and decided to have a song called Let Us Unite. Now, this song, once again, calypso is a part of the African diaspora.
Absolutely.
And all of that. So you're going to get a bit of that. And also one of the most spectacular breaks on this, like funky breaks on this record. And that's the reason why I'm bringing it. Like you could have the calypso part. I want this part.
I cannot wait to hear. Let me ask you, is this one of those sleeper records where it's, you'll find it in the dollar bin, but when you go on Discog, it's like triple digits, if not
no,
more.
You know, actually, it's pretty cheap. See, I think, again,
because sometimes those novelty type records tend to end up being surprises.
People think it's a novelty record. And of course, it could possibly be a novelty record when you're dealing with, okay, well, here's this religious, figurehead and all that other stuff. True. And yeah, at first I was like, you know, when I initially heard the song on YouTube years ago without a name and things like that, I was like, that can't, and somebody named it. I was like, that can't possibly be true. And of course I went on Discogs and I was like, yeah, it's true. And
Minister Farrakhan.
Holy crap. Yeah. So Minister crazy. Farrakhan, Minister Louis Farrakhan putting out some, quietly putting out some heat. You will see. I promise you will see. If y'all YouTube this, you will understand. Just give the song a chance. Don't listen to the words if you don't believe in that kind of stuff, but just go with the middle of this record, which I'm like, good God, for me to
the breakbeat.
Okay. It made me grow gray hairs. It was that good. It was.
Okay. Excellent.
It's your turn. I'm talking too much.
No, it's good. Give us a deep dive. That's what we want.
So Yaya is sitting this one out.
Yep, I am.
Because she hosted. She hosted last.
But
last
I brought
event.
Some either way. I probably won't be able to.
No, you can do this. You can do this.
Well, I want. Well, then let's pass it to Freddie to share his records.
Well. So on my deep dive for this month's category, during the pandemic, I took some time to really find music that I didn't have much of, and it just so happened that this category fits it pretty well. So my first selection is Soul. I don't want to pronounce this wrong.
Makossa.
Soul Makossa.
Right on.
Makossa.
Lafayette, the Afro rock band.
Yes.
All right.
One of the best breaks out there.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
You'll recognize the first track I put out there. Awesome track. I suggest getting this. This is the Why Don't We Please edition. They press very nice things. And Yaya, I would appreciate this one. Willy Bobo, Spanish Green.
Willy Bobo.
This one will definitely have you dancing.
Okay.
Love him.
Spanish Grease is what we're playing on this one. And the last one I brought is this Digital Sandoli.
That's a nice cover.
I know, right?
Nice.
This is, I just some slight research. Zouk and synthetic funk from the French West Indies.
Wow.
Everything on here is super funky, summer vibes.
Okay.
Love the album cover.
It does.
Just from the album cover.
It does.
It's a dope cover, y'all.
Kate Renata sampled a few songs off.
Oh, word.
So I'll be playing one of those tracks.
Okay.
But, shout out to Kate Renata. He's also Haitian Brethren. Hello.
And Grammy Award winning.
Okay.
Yeah, producer.
Okay. Also LGBT. You know, come on. Just all in the piece. Just everything.
Covering all things. All right.
Call me Kate Renata.
So.
Sorry, Zach.
what I love about Freddie when it comes to sharing his records, short, brief, but always impactful.
Hell yeah.
Like, yeah, let's get heat, to the music.
All right. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm working on it. Thank you, Freddie. I'm inspired.
You're good, brother.
So let me go ahead and share mine. And Nick, my eyes went very wide when I saw your first selection, A Tribe Called Quest.
Right.
We've got similar taste, my friend.
Yay! Low end scary, baby.
So I ended up picking, let me know if there's a glare on it, Tony. I went ahead and picked Tribe Called Quest, Low End Theory, which it's kind of funny how it worked out that we both ended up picking like the two records that most hip hop heads like to debate. But I chose A Tribe Called Quest because of their affiliation with Native Tongue. Mm-hmm. And for those unfamiliar with that, it was a collective of late 80s and early 90s hip-hop artists. And the thing that they kind of all shared in common was they were positive-minded, but also they inserted like Afrocentric lyrics into their into their music and things like that. And they also pioneered like the use of like samples, mainly like jazz and other music as well. But they were very, you know, pro-black, pro-Africa with their music, and that's why, you know, they formed that collective and whatnot. So Tribe Called Quest, you know, I mean, I could pick any song and it's always gonna kind of
absolutely
there will be themes of the African diaspora on there. So I'll probably end up playing Jazz, We Got The.
Yeah. Oh, my man. What an album.
Yeah, that's exactly.
So good. Oh, I mean, everything, really.
Exactly.
Everything.
Next up, I've got Marvin Gaye, What's Going On. So not only is it one of my all-time favorite albums, I think one of the greatest albums of all time, but I chose this because this was a turning point for Marvin himself, because this was his departure from that clean-cut, you know, boyish image that he made, you know, popular and got famous from with Motown. From my understanding, a member of the Four Tops brought this song to him, convinced him to you know, write it and sing it. But it was also primarily due to his brother, and I think his brother's name is Frankie Gaye. If I'm not Frankie, thank you. His brother Frankie was serving in Vietnam. Mm. And when he got back, he told Marvin all about the war and how he was, I mean, as we all kind of know, you know, Vietnam veterans, when they came back, we're just treated like shit, especially if you were a black Vietnam veteran. Mm-hmm. You went right straight to, you know, you just had no support or whatnot. So that really impacted Marvin and made him question, I can't keep singing loves. And he just lost Tammy Terrell years earlier. Like 2 years prior to this album releasing. So he was in a different headspace. So, you know, he's thinking about maybe not the, when you think about this thing, maybe not the African diaspora, but he was thinking in a much larger sense of, you know, my fellow brothers and sisters in America and their treatment. Yeah. So I brought this album kind of, you know, because why not?
May I also mention real quick, just pretty much where we're talking about Motown. That was a very interesting year for Motown as well, 70 and 71, because you had Marvin Gaye coming out with records like that, which Berry Gordy fought against.
Hard.
Okay, because...
Really?
He
did not want it to do
that. You know, I mentioned Stax before. I'm even wearing a Stax shirt.
Right.
Stax was pretty much... Even though it was making marketable soul music for, you know, white listeners, I mean, I guess to put it in the brass tacks of it all, popular music, if you will, it was still on the other side of the spectrum of what Motown was doing. Okay. Remember, they were taking them to charm school and putting them in suits and everything. Even seeing this in Summer of Soul, you know, you see like Sly and the Family Stone in these out and out clothing, but then you have folks like... Stevie Wonder, David Ruffin, Gladys Knight and the Pips, who all killed it, by the way.
Absolutely.
Without giving away too much.
Go see it.
Yeah, please go see it. Yeah. Questlove, seriously. Yeah, Clue Bombs, just like everything. But you're seeing that because Stevie Wonder also, again, this was 69 when that movie was filmed. This festival was filmed. And everything was changing at that point. And Stevie Wonder also fought for conservatorship of his own career, which Berry Gordy wasn't really having much of either and everything. So as the world was changing, Motown had to as well, tooth and nail. And Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, and of course Stevie Wonder's classic period, mainly, as well as the Jackson 5, are the biggest points of the turning point of not only black music, but Motown. Definitely Motown.
Wow.
Thank you. Sorry.
No, thank you for sharing that.
No, I appreciate that. That's awesome. All right.
And then last but not least, this is a new album. I haven't even taken out the rapper or whatnot, but it is
Tim
breaking it out.
It is Tim, and help me out if I say
Maya.
Tim Maya. Okay, Tim Maya. It is Tim Maya, the existential soul of Tim Maya. So World Psychedelic Classics 4? Or Nobody. There's a lot of names on this record. I think it's Nobody Can Live Forever. Right. Something like that. Okay. But anyways, I picked this up at Tiger Records as part of their recommended section. They've got like a section of records that they recommend to folks. And I will just simply read the little blurb that they had on the record that convinced me to buy it. It's by the owner himself, James. Shout out to James. He writes,
James.
Okay, so it is Existential Soul. So it's Tim Maya, Existential Soul. And the little blurb reads,
Existential Soul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This dude is the Portuguese godfather of soul. Mm-hmm. He had a career that lasted 3 decades, and this 2 LP has something from every era and phase he went through. It's funky, groovy, and soulful. This relatively obscure record has become one of the best-selling records at Tiger through word of mouth alone.
Wow.
That was enough for me to, you know, give it a shout out.
So we bought the same record the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And I posted the record and the blurb, and somebody immediately corrected me, said Brazilian, not Portuguese.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I didn't catch that until now. He's like, I think he's credited for introducing soul style into the Brazilian music scene. Yeah, are you going to correct me?
Keep going. I was just going to say, like, Brazil is another country that is really underestimated and how much it has influenced the music career. Like, so really, 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 really. Yeah. Like, especially, I can't explain the mixture. You know, I don't know if you guys started noticing in the late 1990s, but especially early 2000s, you started hearing more of a mix of genres like merengue with reggaeton and blah, blah, blah. And Brazil was the first one to really start doing that.
They were literally already there.
Yeah, they've been mixing hip hop with like samba and all that. And so that's why a lot of Americans like Will.i.am, he remixed Sergio Mendes. It's one of my favorite albums. Yeah. I'm dying to get that on vinyl.
Yeah. The Bossa Nova joint?
The Timeless, where Will.i.am reproduced a couple of his songs and made it like a modern twist with hip hop. But it's because Brazil was doing that. So shout out to Brazil 100%.
We can also go back to the late 70s and when Tim Maia was still putting out things and all of that. He was working with a duo named Robeson George and Lincoln Olivetti. And they were pretty much kind of the peer bears of what I like to call, and a lot of others like to call, Brazilian boogie funk. And you have Sandra de Sá that was a part of that. Marcos Valle, who was around for years and years before that. He did a record, the one that we all see and always hear in commercials and everything, with Leon Ware, which came out in 83 and everything. And Tim Maia had a record with Sandra de Sá as well. Brazil had it on lock before a lot of us, you know. I mean, they were influenced by everything that was happening in America, but they were also true to their roots and their heritage.
For sure.
Well, we have to be real. The biggest African, population is in Brazil. It's not in the United States. Right. Yeah. It's actually Brazil. Mm-hmm. And from Brazil is when they were able to go like break off into Latin America also and like go to the Caribbean. So yeah, Brazil has a huge African diaspora influence.
And I was actually looking for some Bossa Nova records to play. Because
that's
hard to find. Stan Getz, like, he has a couple of good joints on there that I was looking for, but unfortunately I couldn't find it.
Yeah. Send a cheap hobby.
No, that's not.
Oh, man.
Learning quickly.
When will that bubble burst?
Between that blurb and then kind of thinking about our theme and then, the theme and whatnot, I thought it'd be a great selection to throw in there. I will add a little bonus because last episode, Freddie won the hearts of not only us but our listeners by gifting Yaya some records. And I wanted to pass along that tradition. And I wanted to gift our man Adrian with some records that I have.
Oh, man. Cool. So, yeah.
I know that. You know, he's growing his collection.
Damn.
Wanted to give it to
thank
all
you,
love
bro.
It. All love it.
So what did you get from Botter?
So, all right. So,
Stephon.
So I got, all right. So Stephon the Don was just gifted. Isaac Hayes to be continued.
All right.
Ooh, you know, okay. Oh, my bad,
bro. This looks like a really cool record. I got some like real chocolatey brown going action
it's
going
like
on in the back.
It's like the king of sexy voices.
Oh yeah, Isaac Hayes, come on, yeah, come on. Yeah. Also on Stax Records as well. Shout out to him.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And then I also received Marvin Gaye live at the Palladium. Palladium,
which is a great performance. I mean, a great live performance. So
damn man.
And also the uncut version of "Got to Give It Up" is on there as well.
Okay,
side four.
Yes, it
all
is.
All of side
damn,
four.
Wow.
Nick didn't even know. He didn't even need to see the back
that's
of it.
Crazy.
He didn't even know. He was like, yeah, side four, three on eight.
Uncut.
No, that's like the whole side. Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Damn,
yeah,
dude.
Look at you, Botter. I mean,
enjoy.
Good.
Damn.
My birthday is on October 27th. I don't have everything, okay?
Well, look, I think we're at a good stopping point. We've got some music to play. But before we do, is there any shameless plugs, anything that you guys want to share before I go into my outro?
Okay, well, since we're talking about African diaspora, just a shout out to the only Hispanic festival in Jacksonville.
Hey, talk about it.
Talk that shit.
Please. Get on board,
sorry,
people.
Yes. Two bombs.
And it's going to be a two-day festival. It's the first ever two-day Hispanic festival in Jax, October 16 and 17. Yes. So if you want to learn, and what's even more exciting, Saturday I'm going to bring a reggaeton artist. I'm still not going to announce it. And Sunday, I have LPT.
Yeah.
They're going to release their official second album that Sunday, October 17th. Oh, so man. If you want to learn about salsa, if you want to really get in touch with the Caribbean diaspora, come through and learn about it and experience it yourself with the music and the drums and let the music take you over.
Heck
look,
yeah.
It's in October. I'll definitely have this episode up by then. It won't take me too much this time. Nick, you've got something to share this episode too.
Yes, I do. Okay, and we're going to try to make this brief as possible. But we do have The Looseness, of course, which is a radio show featuring new and great songs and great people creating these songs and mixes and all of that. Yeah, Jaja was a guest last summer during Summer Radness.
Hey.
We'd have that happening. But the main thing I think is very important to know is that two things. I am finally working on some original music that should be out by the end of the year. Finally. Oh, man.
Really?
Yeah, finally. Yeah,
nice.
This has been like 85 years in the making, and I'm not even 85, you know? And also Tunes, which is a brand new podcast, which is wherever podcasts can be heard, everywhere. I mean it.
How do you spell that?
It is Choons. And, of course, that comes, at least from what I know, it comes from British origin. But it's about pretty much the song that makes you stop in your tracks, that makes you think about, maybe some fun times or times to be had in the future. That's either your jam or it's your tune. So that's where that comes from.
Okay.
I might be wrong on the origin, but shout out to my friend and co-collaborator, co-creator, host, and also music journalist Diego Martinez, who is Venezuelan and is also really up in here, really doing it as thorough as possible. And our main goal is to make sure that these stories, which these songs have come from the LGBT brown and black communities, just like in the way of Song Exploder, good job to you guys, but we want to also tell our stories as well.
They just doing it better, y'all.
Thank you. We're doing it better. Exactly. Just for respectfully. Yes. Respectfully. There's room for all of us.
Of course.
But we do want to make sure that we get stories like In the Evening with Cheryl Lee Ralph, Point of No Return by Exposé, Fascinated by Company B, and our more recent episode, which will premiere Wednesday in July. I forgot the date. I'm weird about that. But You're the One for Me by D-Train. Which is one of the biggest and most influential dance records to ever appear in the past 40 years.
Okay.
We get to talk about that and get to the story and the true grit of it and what I heard, some good stories from that. So we're looking forward to just sharing that. So Tunes, The Looseness, And of course, Nick Fresh EP, Nico Fresco, all of that.
Ooh, Nico Fresco.
And once again, thank you all for having me here tonight. You guys have no idea how blessed I feel to be in your presence.
Dude, thank you. You are doing me a favor. Thank you so much. Honestly, bro.
Yeah.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
No, for sure. Your presence is always appreciated, Nick. Mm-hmm. And with that being said.
Thanks for not firing me, Tony.
There you have it, Spinheads. We've shared some personal anecdotes. And the records we're about to play. Next month's meetup will be at my spot. We'll be doing soundtracks. So we'll be bringing our favorite soundtracks on vinyl. Okay. In the meantime, follow the Next Spin Instagram for photos from the meetup and to listen to our top five, or to our weekly top five playlist. We've got links to Spotify and Apple Music as well. That's it for our show today. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and share it with a fellow music lover. We are still a young pod and need all the help we can to spread the word. So tell your friends, leave a rating and review. That is also extremely helpful. In the meantime, though, take care of yourselves. Come back next month for the next spin. Peace and enjoy some good tunes.
Bye.
Peace.